Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen Podcast, brought to you in association with WCR-FM, which you can hear on 101.8 FM across Wolverhampton via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCR-FM, and now on DAB Digital Radio across Wolverhampton as well. In this episode, we hear from Sharon Nanasen, the new Chief Executive of Wolverhampton Voluntary and Community Action, whom I had the privilege to welcome into WCRFM's Manda Centre Studios. First of all, congratulations, new Chief Executive. Well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'm delighted to be here. I'm 3 weeks in now. On Monday, it's the start of my fourth week.
Right, so really getting used to it. But you've actually been a part of WVCA and its previous name for quite a while, though, haven't you?
That's right. We used to be Wolverhampton Voluntary Sector Council. I've been working in the organisation for about 8 years, working with groups, communities, charities, social enterprises, and working with communities to set up groups and access funding to do good work locally.
I was going to say, you put in the access funding bit just at the end there. I was going to say, bringing in lots of money, which is what many, many... It's not just about the money, but actually that's the lifeblood of many groups, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what a lot of groups need and want. We have an awful lot of volunteers and we have an awful lot of carers and young carers. And our young carers and volunteers really do a lot of good work, not just in Wolverhampton, but across the UK. And we would all be in dire circumstances if they all stopped.
Absolutely. No, and I've visited that before with people with regards to the amount they give to our city, how important they are and where we'd be without them. Yeah, we understand volunteers here because we're all volunteers as well. Mm. Not that anybody would be daft enough to pay us to do this. But anyway, we're all volunteers as well. And therefore, we respect very much where you're coming from and the support that that you give. Obviously, you've been there a while. You decided to have a go for this. What have you landed? What have you learned in the last 3 weeks, I suppose? I know you probably saw the job from afar when Ian Darch was doing it, but now you're in the hot seat. What's it feel like?
Well, wow, it's very fast-paced. Everyone wants to see you. And I think it is about pacing yourself.
Right.
I mean, I think in terms of priorities, it's really kind of reintroducing myself to our staff in a different way, valuing our staff. You know, I've always kind of said we've got 40 staff and that's 40 brains and it's 40 creatives and it's 40 sets of ideas.
Yeah.
So that's very much my approach in terms of the staff, co-opting the staff. Yes, I am accountable and responsible, but I don't have to know everything. I've got a whole kind of team of skilled and experienced staff. So I think that's one of the first things, our staff, and making sure that everyone feels stable and that they feel there's continuity. I have been hitting the ground running. It's been really, really extremely useful that I am already part of the organisation and I have a history there and people
know me. You say useful, but actually that must make it difficult as well. It's a bit like the coach that becomes the manager, you know, the player that moves on from there. So are people now beginning to see you in your new role? Maybe it was all friendly anyway and therefore the change to... But you're going to have to make some tough decisions at times. You're going to make decisions sometimes that people don't like, as well as obviously them thinking, oh, it's all right, my friends now, the chief exec, I'm okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's very true. I mean, it is difficult when you've been in the organisation and you step up into that role. It's a massive role. And one of the things that I've said to the staff is that if I hadn't really wanted to do the role, I would never have applied because I know what it takes. Previous to working at WVCA, I worked for over 25 years in local government at a senior strategic level. So I was strategic lead for services for young people at Sandwell Council. I was general manager for adult services at Sandwell Council. So I've worked at a strategic level and with partners and with councillors for many years. So I have that background. And obviously at WVCA I wasn't doing that. And I really thought about the chief exec's job.
Right.
But really when I saw it, I thought, yeah, I think I fancy that.
Good for you. Well,
yeah, I'm going to say.
Especially if you've come from a different area and then all of a sudden you move into another sector and you think, yeah, I've got something worthy that I can give to this role in this organisation. But also, you know, having worked there for 8 years, you've seen on the ground level, I call shop floor level, I go back to my father's words, shop floor level, you see what works and what doesn't work and what's being ignored. So you can start to implement through those 40 people and harness it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, whoever was coming in as the new chief exec, it was always going to be a change for the staff. Mm. But obviously the predecessor had been there for a very long time. You know, it's kind of known as their organisation. So, yeah, it is about kind of stepping up, and absolutely you have to make some tough decisions.
And we were talking earlier about your new role, and you were saying how you'd moved from, you know, once upon a time working with local government, and you moved across to WVCA, or in its previous incarnation. What made you make the move from the kind of statutory sector into the voluntary sector and supporting groups? Because that was quite a change, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of came to a natural end. As I say, I was strategic lead for services for young people, and part of that involved managing the youth service and other services in Sandwell. And that was between 2010 and 2014, when austerity really kicked in and we saw budgets slashed. And one of the last things I did at Sandwell Council was to restructure the youth service.
Right. So, and restructure the youth service meant getting rid of some of the workers, did it?
Yeah, it did, including me.
Right.
Including me.
Yeah.
It was a difficult time, but I am really pleased to say that Sandwell Council still has a youth service in place, and they do fabulous work.
Yeah, yeah.
And long may it continue, and I'd love us to have more youth services in Wolverhampton. That's one of the things that I would really love to see going forward.
Yeah.
And I hope that as chief exec of WVCA, I can play a part in making some of that happen in Wolverhampton for young people.
Right. Well, I know that young people are very much a priority of the former leader, Ian Brookfield, who we sadly lost. And I'm hoping to get Steve Simpkins in the studio next week, because we're obviously in a pre-election period at the moment. So not been chatting to politicians over the last few weeks, but I'll pin him down and find out where young people sit in that list of priorities. And I would be very surprised if they weren't pretty near the top of it as well. And I also know from working with Chris Burden, the cabinet member for young people, as well as education, you know, it's young people are thought of in the, so therefore I can see some of those conversations happening for you as well.
Good.
So that'd be good.
Fantastic.
And so you had, and that's a difficult process, isn't it? In terms of handling those cuts, but showed perhaps you did the tough things, and sometimes in your new job, tough things are going to be needed too.
Yeah, it was extremely difficult. But I think it's how you handle that process, literally kind of sitting down face to face with your managers and knowing that we all kind of knew in that room that one of them had to go. We knew that I was also going to lose my job.
Yeah.
And we literally had to go through the senior youth officers, the senior youth workers, the youth workers. And it was a 54% budget cut.
Right.
And at that point, there was really only the staff left to cut because we'd shut the centres and things like that. Mm. So it was a very kind of, it was a brutal time in 2014 anyway. You know, loads of staff, particularly there at Sandwell Council, lost their jobs, whole departments closed. But you know, that was then, and we go forward and we come through it. And I'd worked previously before local government. I'd worked in the local. I'd worked in the voluntary sector anyway.
Right.
You know, I'd been a volunteer myself years ago at CAB.
So you got it. You knew
I'd
what
set
it was
up
about.
Groups myself. You
yeah,
know. So
yeah.
I kind of came full circle.
Obviously, you went through all the pain there, but what about, you know, what were the positive things? Because you're looking, you know, obviously now you're in a new role anyway, so I would expect you to be positive. But actually, looking back, what was the kind of learned lessons there, especially in the relationship between the voluntary sector and the statutory sector? What lessons do you bring into this role?
Well, you know, that's a really good point. I mean, first of all, what I'd like to say about the learning, having been, you know, 4 years in with youth and then 4 years before that with the home care service, is that over that 8 years, I worked with the managers and the staff to modernise those services, to redesign those services. And I've kind of always believed, but this actually did happen in practice. My takeaway from that was, if you want to know how to genuinely improve services for local people, then you have to ask the frontline staff.
Yeah.
Because the frontline staff, whether they are home care workers who are going into people's homes or youth workers who are seeing young people on a night, 6 till 9 when we're at home, they are seeing those people all day, every day. That's what they do. So if you're the strategic manager, go and ask those people. So I went out, for example, on the detached youth work teams at night. I was terrified, but I, you know, I thought, well, I've got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, went round all the services, met all the staff. And once you start, kind of, staff see you and the way you operate, and you co-opt staff and you genuinely ask them, look, we've got to make budget savings. We need to provide more quality services. What do you think? How do you think services could be improved? If you genuinely ask and genuinely listen, they will tell you. And both of those modernisations over 2 lots of 4 years, all of the modernisation and service redesign that was implemented, the ideas came from the frontline staff.
Right, right.
So I take that with me. You know, that's it's kind of that. That was the learning, but also tough decisions, Chris. You know, hands up. I've had to look people in the face and say, "I'm sorry, you've lost your job." I've been in that position where, you know, I've had to discipline people, all kinds of things. Yeah. That is part of the job. It's not just soft touch.
Well, you made me smile because a few years ago now, I was chatting to a guy who ran, very wealthy person, ran a national clothes chain, shops up and down the country. And he said to me, he said, you know how I find out what's going on? So go on, he said, I talk to the cleaner.
Yeah.
When he goes to the shop, I find out who the cleaner is. I ask him what's going on in the shop. And I took that into some community work I was doing, and I was struggling in this area. I won't say where it was. It's not in Wolverhampton. And I thought, I don't understand this community. And I was just wrapping up in a community centre, having talked to people and listened to them. I thought, I wonder who the cleaner is in this community. And one of the caretaker came up to me and said, you know what's wrong in this community? I said, no, there's no men. I said, how do you mean there's no... He said, there's no men around at all. I take stuff right. There's no men. And so I went back and checked out the demographics of the area. And fair enough, you know, men became hidden in this community for various reasons, you know. I thought, yep, get the insights from that way. And that's that is what you've just described to me there. And also, though, in that, you're engaging people in... You're honouring them and engaging them in their own future, even if that future is actually your future's going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is that when you work in the local authority and you have a relationship with the voluntary sector, it's very different to when you're in the voluntary sector. So having moved back into the voluntary sector, I think that one of the first things that I felt when I started liaising with... council partners is that the relationship is very different. It's very different. So I think
that's
that,
very good.
I think that going forward, I mean, what I would really like to see is that we have genuinely equal partnerships where we do value each other. If we work in the NHS or the local authority or the university or the voluntary sector, which is massive and does a lot of work that those other partners doesn't and can't do. You know, we reach parts those partners can't reach. You know, if we can genuinely really value that contribution and be an equal partner, I think sometimes it can feel as though there's a bit of a pecking order.
Everybody just wants to feel respected and valued, and we've all got opinions. Sometimes, you know, the people on the ground floor don't understand all the paperwork and all the red tape that goes on. They don't see that, and sometimes the people in the offices don't see actually all the extra hours that these people put in on the ground floor. And it's just, as you say, being open to listen, take all the good things, all the bad things, work out what does work, what doesn't work, and then come together and be respectful to each other. But sometimes when you've got people in other departments, in other organisations, they are the workforce and are paid for. I can say this, are workforce and paid for. And you over in that group are just a volunteer. But sometimes it's those volunteers, you cannot do without them.
And also, you know, it's important for people to know, if they don't know already, what WVCA can do to support people across the city. You know, you've mentioned a few things about funding, volunteers. We're aware of the lottery. What else is on the agenda there?
Yeah, so in addition to our core offer to develop social enterprises and charities and to help groups access funding, we also have a number of projects ourselves. So we have SUIT, which is Service User Involvement Team, and SUIT focuses on drug and alcohol recovery. And we have a number of volunteers who work with us very regularly on SUIT. SUIT has been going now for about 10 years. It's a very, very successful project.
Indeed, absolutely.
Yeah, they do great work. So I'm working with the manager and SUIT to see, you know, if we can develop a good long future for SUIT. We also have the Volunteer Centre, where people can register to be volunteers and organisations can register for volunteers.
And I know from working with Peter Ems, then again, it's not just about the volunteering, it's not about taking from people, it's giving to them as well. It is, you have a charter by which you work with people. So actually people can gain a great deal from working with you as volunteers, as well as obviously give their time and their support to key projects.
Absolutely. And just on volunteering, if a person comes to us to volunteer, they have a full induction programme. They're not kind of put with any organisation where they don't want to be.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of kind of choice around that as well.
And it's honouring them. It's not seen. Sadly, volunteers sometimes are seen as free labour. And that's dishonouring. And actually, this is very empowering what you do.
Absolutely. And I think particularly with SUIT, you know, we've got some volunteers at SUIT who are doing, you know, an incredible amount of hours a week, and it is their, they want to do it, but it is their goodwill.
Yeah.
But the other project that we have at WVCA is the Social Prescribing Project, and this is a project where we have a number of contracts in place with the Royal Wolverhampton Trust, and social prescribing is about working with GPs on social prescriptions rather than medical prescriptions.
Yeah.
So we have an awful lot of people who are at home, they're isolated, they may have low-level depression and anxiety, and we have a number of link workers who work with GPs and then go out to those people and try and connect them up with activities. So that's a very, very... it's a very important and it's a very, very effective service.
Well, the answer to our health and well-being often doesn't come in a bottle, does it? That's
right.
The issue here, that actually it is around. And you'll be saving the NHS and GP practices an immense amount of time and money through social prescribing as well.
Absolutely. And I think that the NHS and the local authority in terms of health and social care, I think they really see that. And part of that is them also seeing and acknowledging the role of the voluntary sector in all of that, because the social prescribing service is managed by WVCA, but it's funded by the hospital.
So we're coming back here to this mutual respect across the sectors, aren't we?
That's
in terms
right.
of recognising what's what contribution can be made and what impact can be had as well. So that's important.
Absolutely. I mean, we can achieve so much more if we pool our resources, if we pool our skills, if we pool our staff, if we pool our funding. We can achieve so much more together than separately. So that's my hope as well, that we can work more closely with the NHS, the local authority, the university, and our vast number of volunteering community sector and social enterprise organisations.
That was Sharon Nanansen, the new Chief Executive of Wolverhampton Voluntary and Community Action. That's it for this episode. If you have any news for me, you can email me via chris@wcrfm.com, and I look forward to you joining me next time on the Chris Allen Podcast.